begin with our opening prayer. Please pray with me. O Heavenly Father,
O Heavenly Father,
Divine Mother,
Divine Mother,
Beloved Jesus Christ,
Beloved Jesus Christ,
Dearest Mother,
Dearest Mother,
Beloved David,
Beloved David,
Saints and Sages of all religions,
Saints and Sages of all religions,
I bow to all of you.
I bow to all of you.
Free my life from all obstacles.
Free my life from all obstacles.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only king.
Be thou the only king.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Peace.
Bliss.
Amen. Looks like I'm in heaven, doesn't it? I'm going to start off with a reading from David, and this is, I have several readings from David's postings, and they're all address the idea of the ego. And this first one paints a beautiful picture of what happens when we start to go beyond the ego. So let's start with that. From a human standpoint, the workings of nature can make one feel small. From a divine perspective, it makes God extremely great. Man is definitely part of all that is. However, all that is a marvel and more than mind can contain. To be in awe, to be in the continual awe and wonder, is to be close to God. There are many encounters with the sacred that carries with it the assurance, be not afraid. David's talking here about so many of the Bible passages when God or angels appear, and the first thing that they say is, be not afraid. Back to David. Words are so difficult to encapsulate any spiritual experience, but when in the divine presence, there's often time the feeling that one will be overwhelmed, that it is all too much. This is the case of the human ego trying to wrap its arms around God rather than simply surrendering to him, to be not afraid. We want to understand God, to know God, and really we want to control God. That is what the human ego does in order to make itself not feel overly small or insignificant. God experience teaches us that the human intellect is puny, but the spirit within is great, so great that it can reach out to the infinite. This reaching out can only be done through total and complete surrender and absolute trust that lowers all defenses and barriers. While the mind may wish to stand without reserve before the throne of the infinite, in reality, it is actually very difficult because of years, lifetimes of creating those very defenses. We would like to think we are in control. Obviously, there are forces far greater than we can possibly calculate. We think we can determine what is good and what is bad. Out of control, fires that burn down forests are thought to be bad. Yet the good that comes about from the enormous fire here, and this is where they're traveling, is undeniable. On a glacial scale, sun burns up, or on a galactic scale, sun burns up or goes supernova. they also shoot out unbelievable flares across vast space. And all of these things cause great damage. Yet in the total calculation of what makes for growth, these events may very well contain the seeds of new life elsewhere. Can we ever really know the total good and bad of it? Surrounded by natural and spiritual forces that make one shrink into insignificance, we are quite often reminded that man is small. If the human intellect is too puny to know these things, then what are we to do? The answer? We are to be good stewards of what we do know. Still greater in our humility, we surrender to the Supreme Consciousness, the Creator of all that is, and through that surrender, do as He wills for us, oftentimes not knowing all the ways in which our thoughts, words, and actions will affect this world, but knowing deep within that it is fulfilling virtue, We know that when we act according to the highest light in any particular situation, He may find us fit instruments to do the ultimate good. You know this because you feel Him working through you, thinking through, acting through, in perfect purity without a trace of self. In this hand-in-glove relationship, you are at peace. You experience bliss. You know beyond all possibility of doubt that He is real and the true power working through every cell of your being. That is all you need to know, and that fact fills you up and makes you complete. As I write these words, I feel His power and bliss flowing through me, and my own intellect has no idea from moment to the next as to where He is going and what He is doing next. And it is all perfect. All the wonders in this magnificent world cannot match even a moment of perfection you have in spirit. But even as you discover your union in Him, Spirit reveals its perfection, and in that experience, the world is known to be perfect. The Lord commanded you to be perfect, and it is only when you merge into the fabric of God's being that you can be perfect. Perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Nature is here to remind you of your insignificance. God is here to remind you of your greater nature, to know your oneness with Him. So I see everybody snuck around their ego and got here tonight. I'm proud of you. I was talking with somebody on Saturday, and we had talked about a year ago. And he said, I've been thinking about what we talked about before, and the ego is a hard thing to kill, he said. And I thought, that's what I want to talk about on Wednesday. The ego is a hard thing to kill. And the ego has served us for so many lifetimes. It's kept us alive. It's kept us moving forward. We equate the mind and the ego often. And it's learned what it takes to survive. And as we evolve spiritually, the ego becomes less and less significant. It becomes less and less necessary for us to work in this world. And yet when we imagine its death, we imagine the death of ourselves. And I say this truly from my own heart and experience. I remember shaking in terror being in my meditation or not being in my meditation and not wanting to go to it because the ego was so terrified of its destruction. And what would I be? I remember looking up at the stars and the expansiveness of the universe and being terrified of no longer existing. And seeing the immensity of the stars, seeing the immensity of the universe, and seeing just what a tiny speck on a tiny speck I was, and feeling the enormity of that in a way that was crushing and terrifying, that I probably had what would be called a panic attack now. Just that abject terror of that feeling of no longer existing, of dissolving into nothingness. And when I met David, that was when I knew that there was something more. I had played with things before that time. I had played with the idea of, is there more than the physical? So seeing auras and thought projection and all the fancy New Age things. And I had come to believe that indeed there was more than what science would tell you, where things end and where truth ends and fantasy begins. And so that allowed me to start to open up to this idea that I was more than just this body and this mind, and that there was more to creation. But it did not take away that terror. The ego felt and feels the closeness of its destruction. And it fights with everything it has to distract us. When I was younger, it was alcohol and partying and loud music and dancing. As I became older, more mature, it became relationships and caring for others, what modern psychology calls codependency. And as I've advanced on this path, it's become all kinds of small distractions. Anything that takes my mind away from God and keeps the ego alive. And so we ask, how do we destroy the ego? And I'll tell you, it can't be destroyed. It can only surrender. We can't kill it. It has to surrender itself. So how do we do that? We have to tempt it and tantalize it with God. We have to have the experiences that allow us to want to let go of being in control so that God can come in. And I'll go back to part of this that David read, or David wrote. David did read it. While the mind may wish to stand without reserve before the throne of the infinite, in reality, it is actually very difficult because of years, lifetimes of creating those very defenses. We would like to think we are in control. Obviously, there are forces far greater than we can possibly calculate. So I want us to take a moment now to just honor the ego. It's kept us alive throughout all these lifetimes. The ego shows us in that. Here's a way to think about it. The ego is responds to Moses when he comes. Not to say I am that I am. I am. But when he comes with the Ten Commandments, and the ego can follow rules. The ego can, in its primitive way, see what keeps us alive, see what can kill us, see where danger is. It can't absorb God, though. It's the block to God. It's the filter that keeps God's light from coming in completely. But we have to honor the ego and what it's accomplished for us. We have to acknowledge that it's kept us safe, that it's kept us fed. At least it thinks it has. And that it's meant well. Its goal is to survive. And so just in this moment, recognize your ego like you would a coworker. Thank it for its hard work, for its diligence. And try and just witness that part of yourself that seeks to be in control, not for evil, but because it's all that it knows. It tries so hard and it has so little information. It wants to let go because it's really terrified. But it feels if it does, all will be lost. So just witness that. Witness that fear, that darkness, that lack of knowing that it has. And see if you can separate somewhat from it in the witnessing so that it can be there and your higher self can also be there. And this is all done with the imagination. You may feel it. You may have a visual image of it. You may have a kinesthetic sense of it. All of that is fine. Just let your mind use this to observe the ego. Now we're going to invite the ego to experience this next part that David talks about. If the human intellect is too puny to know these things, then what are we to do? The answer, we are good stewards of what we know. Still greater in our humility, we surrender to the Supreme Consciousness, the Creator of all that is. And through that surrender, do as He wills for us. Oftentimes not knowing all the ways in which our thoughts, words, and action will affect the world, but knowing deep within that it is fulfilling virtue. We only know that when we act according to the highest light in any particular situation, He may find us fit instruments to do the ultimate good. You know this because you feel Him working through you, thinking through you, and acting through you in perfect purity, without a trace of self. In this hand and glove relationship, you are in peace. You experience bliss. You know beyond all possibility of doubt that He is real and the true power working through every cell of your being. That is all you need to know, and that fact fills you up and makes you complete. So let's try to experience that now. And what I'd like you to do is, still holding the ego, holding it, but holding it separate, as if you might hold a friend or a baby. Hold it alongside of you, connected to you, but with a separation. And we're going to do the 20-part body energizing to really allow that energy to flow through us. So sitting with your feet on the floor, we're going to tense the left foot, and we'll hold all the parts. Don't let them go as we go up. The left foot, the right foot, the left calf, the right calf, tense to about a medium. The left thigh, the right thigh, the left buttock, the right buttock, lower stomach, upper stomach, left lower arm, right lower arm, left upper arm, right upper arm, chest, left side of the neck, right side of the neck, front of the neck, holding to the count of 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, and when we get to 1, we're going to release and exhale at the same time. 3, 2, 1, release. And feel the energy of God flowing in at the medulla. You can do it again if there's not that flow. If you've had a tense day and need more, feel free to do it again on your own. And I want you to bring the ego into that energy field. Allow that energy to flow into the ego. And just breathe with it, breathe with it. Feel that light flowing in. You can focus your attention on the ajna. Feel the energy flowing through the medulla, across the brain cavity, out through the ajna, up and over. Or you may feel it flow from the medulla and out through the heart center. As you do, and if you feel yourself starting to tense, just breathe deeply and witness. We'll spend just a few minutes in this meditative state. If you find yourself tensing, just go back to the 20-part tense and release until the medulla opens fully and the energy starts to flow. Take another minute or two. And if the ego is still by your side, make sure to include it in the energy that's coming in. Maybe a gentle tingling, maybe a rushing experience, maybe a subtle sense of peace. Anybody have comments on that? Questions, difficulties? Anybody find that they couldn't find the ego anymore?
I'm not sure where my ego's located.
With that, it was just wherever you were experiencing it when you were trying to. So we can, do you want to try it, Jerry, together?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So our one to start is to just have a sense of yourself. And just breathing, closing your eyes, and being aware of yourself. The ego is the part of us that defines us as limited, as finite, as only this. And so when we talk about me, when we talk about I'm only, that's our ego. And so if we start to just, as we've done this exercise before, just start to witness ourselves. Do you have a sense of that? Of just being able to kind of look at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Not physically like from above or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But just, okay, that's Jerry. This is Jill. What's Jill thinking? Oh, look at how Jill's breathing. There's the edges of Jill. So you have a sense of being able to do that?
Look at myself.
Yeah.
On my behaviors and my reactions and things like that?
No, in this very moment.
Hmm.
So can you witness who you are?
I think so.
Okay. And then can you stand in that witness? And this is metaphorically or in your imagination. So the part of you that is looking at yourself, that is noticing yourself. Easy thing to do is to notice your breathing and notice that someone is breathing. And then align yourself with that part that's noticing. And then try and mentally create some space there. So you can think, oh, I'm thinking about these things. And instead of saying, I'm thinking about it, you can think, Jerry's thinking about, I don't know if I know how to do this, or whatever's coming to your mind. And you can watch your thoughts. And you can watch your breathing. And try and just separate yourself, your higher self, from that part that's active and doing. Is that working at all, Jerry?
That's helpful.
Yeah. So then that part that's left behind is the ego.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important for us to do those separations because we realize that we are more than that. And we feel just as much ourselves when we're in that witness consciousness. And that which gets left behind is the ego. Now we know everything the ego knows, but it's much easier without that encasement, without that smaller self, to then align ourselves with the higher self. And the trick with all of this, and the reason that we want to bring the ego along with us in these experiences, is so it starts to learn that this is much more pleasant, this is much more expansive, that we have access to more information than we become. Hari Om! As a test of the ego, our internet went out.
I thought you had transcended to the great beyond.
Only shortly.
Well, you did open saying it looked like you were in heaven.
It's fair.
Jill, I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Connie.
When I do that 20 point in this last couple of days, there's like so much like nausea and the body like just excruciating pain and a sense of terror.
Mm.
So I don't like the exercise right now, obviously.
Yeah. Do you want to play with it together a little bit?
Well, if Jerry can do it, I can do it.
Everybody's going to go through this at different points. And it is all of that. So it's when we open ourselves up fully to God, everything in us fights against it. And it's counterintuitive, especially when we know better. But it really is that. And that's the thing. It is terrified of dying. And it will make us sick to our stomach. It will make us nauseous. It will make us pain. It will do everything it can to keep us from allowing that energy to come through. And so the thing to keep in mind when, especially when there's pain, is that that's a place of blockage. And it's a place where we're constricting and holding. And so David's teachings around the clearing breath are really useful in those situations, even if it's nausea, even if it's fear. And so let's all practice the 20 point again. Or if people just want to meditate, you're free to do that. But it's such a useful technique, and it's so physical. But I think it really helps, especially when we're really challenged with allowing God's energy to flow into us, when we're feeling blocked, when we're feeling alone. So we're going to tighten left foot. And let's try low and see if that helps, Connie. So just to a low tension, left foot, low tension, right foot, low tension, left calf, right calf, left thigh, right thigh, left buttock, right buttock, lower stomach, upper stomach, chest, left arm, right arm, sorry, lower arms, upper arm left, upper arm right, left side of the neck, right side of the neck, center of the neck, hold to a low, so not vibrating, just a gentle hold. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Release. And then, Connie, notice where there's pain or discomfort.
What's interesting is it feels like the body is still in such a state of hypervigilance.
Yeah. That
one layer is releasing and flowing, but there's another layer that is encapsulated so tightly. And I know, I possibly at this time, there's a place that my ego thinks that's what it has to do, is to hold on ferociously because of the situation.
It's hiding. It's in a cave. It's pulled down the covers over its head.
Yeah.
And so that's where we can invite that part, like we were trying earlier at the beginning. So we're going to do it again, but this time invite that part to experience it. So bring awareness to it, witness it. And I'm imagining almost you having it sit in your lap like a little child. Just bringing it to your chest. And we can all practice these things. They may not be significant to us right now, but there'll be a point at which this will come back to you. So that frightened, see it almost like a big rock. It's turned itself into stone. And just allow it to breathe. Invite it to breathe. Feel the lightness in the witness body. So try and allow that flow to continue. And as you do, allow that consciousness to flow into that hardened part. It is part of you. And so they're connected.
Well, that little rock that turned into stone is burning hot.
Ah, that's interesting. What does it need to be cooled off? Or does it need to be extinguished? I mean, does it need to vanquish itself in flames? Can it be tossed into the flames in front of you?
Like the Om Swaha?
Yeah.
Exercise? Okay.
Or it could be that, or it could be the column of flaming light out in front of you. See if it wants to just escape into that. So you can imagine what I'm talking about for those who don't know this exercise. So the idea is to visualize a column of flame and light in front of you. And the way I always think of it is those tubes that you put, the old-fashioned tubes that you put like your deposit in, and then it has a vacuum that and takes it away.
Pneumatic.
So yeah, pneumatic, that's it. And if you imagine a column of light that does that, and just see if it's interested in going into that, if it wants to go for a ride.
Well, it's interesting that the rock or the stone is near the base of the spine, sitting in the lap.
Okay.
And that tube, I have a sense of that, like the blue flame traveling up the spine and coming, going whoosh up the top of the crown, up the top of the head.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know where it went.
That's wonderful. is it still there?
Well, it's warmth around the perineum, but it's cooling as it's traveling upwards. But
is the stone still there, or has it moved?
There's still warmth and heat, but it doesn't have that same sense.
Yeah.
No, just the nausea still at the heart.
Okay.
Center.
Yeah. So at the heart center, and this is a wonderful one for everybody to try. We're just going to visualize our heart center, which is, Connie, will you describe where the heart center is? Because you're better at that with your yogic terms.
I always think of it as it's right behind the breastbone or the sternum at the back of the body. It's not where the physical heart is to the left or rare if the right. And I just feel it between my two shoulder blades.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's like, it feels, Jill, like it's that knot that's really, really struggling right now.
Yeah. And I bet at least half the people that are here are experiencing the same thing. So that heart, the Gordian knot,
yeah.
The untying of the heart center. And so the tool we have to work with that is the clearing breath.
Okay.
And so everybody focus. And if you just bring your attention to kind of the center of your chest and a little bit behind. So for me, right here, and then I breathe, and there's a space in there that feels more energetic than the rest of the area around it. And it may be you may feel almost an energetic movement in it that's like a ball. Like lots of sci-fi and fantasy things have these balls of energy. And it may be small and tight. It may be loose and glowing. But that's what we're looking for in there. It may be something that just feels like a tight, hard knot. And maybe just the size of a golf ball. And again, these are metaphysical feelings, not physical, physiological things. So you're not looking for a concrete feeling of that. You're looking for a sense of it. And what we do with the clearing breath, and no matter how open your heart center is, this is a wonderful thing to do, because it just makes us more and more open to love and to the world. And if you have no sense of what I'm talking about at all, that's okay. Just pretend and just pick a spot in there. If you put your shoulder blades back and imagine in between them and then forward a couple inches, somewhere in there, find a spot that calls to you. And then the clearing breath is simply we start to notice our breathing. We don't change the breathing at all. But on our inhale, our stomach expands, and on our exhale, it contracts. And Connie, you might even find that you've been doing the opposite. Because when we're in a heightened state, we do the absolute reverse of that. And when we breathe in, we suck our stomach in. And when we breathe out, our stomach expands. And so we want to just go into this natural state of breathing where the stomach expands on the inhale and contracts on the exhale. And now we're going to invite the heart center to do the same thing. We're going to imagine it as a ball of whatever shape makes sense. And then as we breathe in and our stomach expands, the heart center expands ever so slightly. And as we breathe out, it contracts. And as we breathe in, it expands. And as we breathe out, it contracts. And it's okay to just do this with your imagination. God will make it work. And at first, we just have it breathe with us. We don't ask it to do anything. We don't ask it to change. We just invite it to breathe. And if it seems like that's you're getting a nice rhythm of that. Then we ask it to expand a little more with each in-breath. As we inhale, allow it to expand just like you're blowing up a balloon, ever so slightly, increasing its circumference. Allowing space to come in. You may notice energy at the medulla as you're doing this. You may notice areas wanting to tighten and resist it. Just observe, just witness. Continue breathing and expanding the stomach and contracting as you exhale. Connie, what do you notice around the nausea or the pain?
Nausea has settled. Pain is almost gone. Mm-hmm. But on the expansion and contraction, it feels like a wrapping that's around the physical body.
Yeah.
for use of a word, but it feels like it's, like you said, the blowing of the balloon. The whole body, every part of the body is expanding and contracting, not just the belly or the heart, but the whole body is expanding, like, and dissolving.
Yeah.
And like watching the surf on the, or the bubbles on the ocean, how it comes in and goes out.
Yeah. And how does that feel?
For me, that feels more like a natural state, calming and connected.
Yeah.
I think I just got lost in all of the stuff right now.
Yeah. And that's...
Thank you, Jill.
Yeah. Glad you found smoothie.
Smoothie. That's a good way to describe it. Smoothie.
Yeah. And then when we get to that state, then there's nothing to stop us from just continuing to expand. And if God needs us back and focused on the world, that will happen. And if not, we'll just be able to rest in that. And be sure that the ego gets a glimpse of that, that freedom that you're feeling, that you-ness that you're feeling. And that's such a significant thing that you pointed out, Connie, is that you feel like yourself. You feel more like yourself. And that's what happens as we leave these encasements behind. We feel more and more ourselves, not less. We don't die. We become
not others.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jill.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, David G.
Anybody else have questions around any of these practices? Or comments. Comments are wonderful too. Everybody still awake behind those screens?
Jill.
David.
I just wanted to comment that, oh my gosh, I don't know what I want to comment. It's gone. It had to do with your question that you asked, and then I thought I knew what it was, but it went away.
Maybe I'll say something, and David, it might come back to you. It sounds like we're helping the ego to relax so the energy can come in, not to be so afraid. Is that correct, Jill?
Yes, that's exactly it. That it can relax, and then in doing that, it can experience God, and then that's how it learns to trust God. Until it trusts God, it won't surrender itself. So it's kind of a simple equation, but it's a difficult thing to do because the ego has felt like it was in charge and keeping us safe for so long that when we start to experience God and understand how much safer, how much more peace and bliss we get when we let God be in charge. But we have to teach the ego that. And the only way the ego can learn that is by experiencing it. And so that's really what all these practices are about, is allowing ourselves, our ego self, to know God. And to start to, just like we learn that, you know, that we would rather have a delicious piece of really good cheesecake than a box of donuts. You know, we learn to discern. And so it's helping the ego discern that being in God contact, being filled with God's light, is so much sweeter than anything it can find. in this physical plane. Not that we have to give all that up. It's still available to us, but it's available to us with God working through us. You know, David was one of the most fun people any of us could hang out with. He wasn't, boring or not of this world, but he was of this world and beyond this world and made all this world more fun, more lovely, more everything. And so that's that experience that we're striving for, is to be able to live in that consciousness. Anybody else? Well, I had about 6 readings and I got through 1. So I think, hope we'll revisit this again in another week or two. If it's useful. So.
Good topic.
Yeah. It's kind of the heart of the matter. And I come to it honestly, in that it's come to my attention. God has brought it to my attention that I've been playing that same game that David talked about of, I can go anywhere in the whole world except for up those 3 steps. And if I go up those 3 steps, everything's done. God is behind that door. And so I've been playing in this whole universe, but not going up those last 3 steps. And so this is very, very poignant for me as well. So I'm grateful to have David showing us these next steps of how to not let the fear of the ego hold us back from our oneness with God. It's essential stuff. And it sounds very esoteric, but it's in the body, it feels very physical, like Connie was talking about. You know, we experience the physicality of it. So. Well, let's have our closing prayer. Thank you all for staying through the internet shut off. We're running off of my phone right now. Turned it into a hotspot. Let's see if I can read this. Please pray with me. O Heavenly Father. Divine Mother. I feel the wonder and the beauty. Of thy glorious presence. In every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for thee. I kneel in adoration at thy feet. And surrender myself to thee. I feel the power of thy perfection. Surging in every cell of my body. My mind and my intelligence. Are radiant with thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss. Of my communion with thee. I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am He. Peace.
peace,
bliss.
Amen.
Amen.
Hari Om, thank you, Jill.
Hari Om, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jill. Hari Om.
Hari Om, night night.